Good morning. Good morning. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord this morning. We're glad you've chosen to be with us this morning. It's a beautiful looking crowd. See some new faces. See some faces I ain't seen in a while. See some faces, to be honest with you. I know Will Bernard, but it's been a while since I've actually seen him and got to be able to catch up a little bit. We want to thank God for you being with us this morning. Got some guests here this morning. We want you to know that you're welcome. You're welcome in the name of the Lord. And when I say that, I truly mean it. We mean that here at church. We want you to make sure that you know that you're welcome here at Mallory Church of God. Today is Youth Sunday, so the youth will be leading us in worship this morning, as they always do on Youth Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. We don't just mark this off as a to-do list as far as, okay, it's Youth Sunday, we got to let them worship. No, we get to worship with them. Amen? So we know that that's always a special Sunday here at the church, and we look forward to that. By way of announcements, just if you haven't got in a group, I'd highly encourage you to. We've got one that's already full, got several that's approaching full, but there's still room for you, folks. Listen, come and be a part of it, okay? Because it's good what God's doing. We got people stepping out, and the Holy Spirit's moving, and we just have so much positive feedback. We just encourage you to be a part of one of them. I'm gonna ask my ushers to come on up, if you will. We're gonna go ahead and take the tithes and offering, and we don't want to just slide this in here, because we talked about worship in Next Steps on Wednesday night. We talked about worship, and within worship is several things. You to hush there. Now see, I'm going to go ahead and say it, okay? Go take more than that. Shut me up. But we've had issues with the live stream this morning. Both mornings that we spoke about tongues, interpretations, live streams have been messed up. So people at home that's wanted to watch it has not been able to. And we never have issue with our live stream. And now this morning, when I'm trying to take up tithes and offering, we can extend worship to something different than just worship, they're trying to cut me off. We're not going to let that happen, okay? Worship also extends into giving, is what I want you to understand, okay? So God loves a cheerful giver. Whether it's your tithes or offering, know that it goes to help people, to good stewardship, to building upliftings of God's kingdom. So whatever you can give, God will bless. I can promise you that. And I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I'm going to pray over the offering. If you're able to give, we encourage you to be able to give, okay? Heavenly Father, we come here this morning, we give you thanks. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Lord, we're privileged to be gathered together in a free country, in the greatest country in this world, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to worship freely, without intimidation and safety. Lord, we remember a time when we weren't even allowed to come into your church, Lord, during COVID, and yet we're here today and have an opportunity to worship with our brothers and sisters, and we want to remember that and thank you for it. God, we pray for every soul that's here this morning, those that are guests, that's never been here. We want you to know, Lord, that we thank you, God. We pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know you in the free pardon of sin, that they'll hear the gospel and that your love will compel them to come toward you. God, we thank you for every soul, every person here. We praise, God, that you will bless this offering, use it for the uplifting and building of your kingdom. And God, we love you and we praise you. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will move freely from breast to breast, that breakthroughs and deliverances will happen today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hold on, brother. While they're doing that, we want to encourage each of you to let go and worship the Lord. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask each of you, as I turn this over to Brother Josh, you guys know better than to sit down. I can't believe you sat down. You know better than that. I'm going to ask you, look, there's new faces here, so I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and welcome a couple of people here in the name of the Lord, okay? Tell them glad to see you.
Good morning. And we got a lot of people. Y'all seen this? So this morning, leading into worship, as the drama team comes, there's something been stirring on my spirit this morning, and that's gratitude. The simple things in life that we look over and all this and that, and what praise and worship really is giving back to the Lord what they gave us all those years ago. And praise and worship gives you a minute to cool down from this week, because I'm sure I see a lot of kids. I feel y'all. So I get it. Weeks are tough, you know. I understand. But praise and worship lets you get away from all that for just a minute. If you'll do it genuinely with your heart. And then that, in turn, will open your mind to hear the scripture, whatever you need. So the drama team's prepared. I'm gonna hush, and y'all stay in the worship with me.
in myself. There are enough colors to paint the whole picture. Not enough words to ever say what I found. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy, He is merciful.
Lift your hands and tell me tonight.
Lord, you're holy.
Lord, you're holy.
Lord, you're holy.
So holy.
And we lift you up and magnify your name.
I look around and I see all the works your hands have made. The awesome feel inside. as a token of my love, this is what I'll do. I lift my hands and cry, Lord,
you're holy.
Lord, you're holy.
Lord, you're holy.
So
and we lift you up.
I lift you up.
Magnify your
tonight. Spirit of the Lord. tear. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power of the Lord is here.
hands and worship the Lord just a few minutes more. How many's glad to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? Amen. God, we receive that. We thank you, Father. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing to come to church, but it's another thing to get into the presence of the Lord. And we've been there this morning, still there, and we appreciate that. I always say we never want to take that for granted here, the presence of the Lord that meets us here, that encourages us and strengthens us, and we see it so much. And I think a lot of times it's ushered in exactly how you witnessed it this morning, in the mouths of babes up around the altar worshiping. Does it not do your heart good to see young kids up here worshiping the Lord and leading in worship and being participants? You can be seated if you wish, if you want to. Such a great place to be, and we appreciate them for doing that so much. So much hard work goes into all that, and we certainly appreciate them and appreciate you for being here. Appreciate the presence of the Lord that makes it more than just a normal gathering or a social club where we all get together. You're a good-looking crew this morning. Turn to two or three people and tell them they look good. All right. Amen. Doing that, we don't like to call people out, but I'm going to call her out. It's good to have Sister Joanne back with us this morning. Amen. She's one of the mothers of the church, and we appreciate her for being here this morning and sort of showing us and giving us a witness there in a way to where there's a will, there's a way. Amen. And that she desired to be in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord among her family, and we appreciate that so very very much. We're not going to stand for any kind of reading today. We're going to be about where we've been with Mephibosheth and talking about a little bit about our vision. We're actually wrapping up today and going to talk a little bit about the go, although I don't want you to get caught up too much in the word go. We'll sort of get there when we get there, but it's more about as you're going than the go. We just always in the church say go when it sort of rolls off your tongue a little bit better than go as you're going, but we'll sort of talk to you about that whenever we get there. But we want to recap just a little bit about what we talked about along this sermon series about gathering, and that you've got a place at the table. And we learned the first week that no matter if you get carried in, if you're limping, if you're hurt, if you're bruised, if you're beat down all week, you've got a place at the table, and all you have to do is submit yourself to the Lord. The Holy Spirit will draw you. He'll help you. He'll drag you in if need be and set you at the table of the Lord and allow you to have fellowship not only with God, but then we talked last week about growing with one another, right? So when we talk about grow, we understand that the very first priority in that is to be connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and have his presence in your life. But then also, God puts those around us to help us grow, iron sharpening iron. And that's a lot of times in groups. That's how we do that here. There's groups all through the week. I would encourage you to get in one. I think it's probably been our best launch here so far as everybody getting involved, and nothing but really good reports about our groups that's going on this time. And that's one of the ways that you grow as well when you're in a relationship with others, iron sharpening iron, and them helping you learn and grow. And also, too, being in a relationship with people that are hard. Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Okay. Y'all must be a little bit more perfect or sanctified than what I am. Let me try this again now that you know where I'm going with it. Sometimes the Lord allows us to grow through relationships that we have with others that are hard, right? Iron sharpens iron there, and there's a friction, right? So, you know, we often make somewhat a joke of it, but it's true. You know, Jesus gave us really, boiled down to two commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and then 3 through 10 is really about how to do that and love your neighbor and don't covet and kill and all these other things. And unless you're in relationship, unless you've got some kind of relationship with some individuals, you can't even keep 3 through 10, right? Or number 2, you can't love your neighbor as yourself, because it's easy to love your neighbor when they're not real close to you, right? Y'all remember the jingle during COVID, like a good neighbor, stay over there, instead of like a good neighbor.
It's easy to love people with that mantra of like a good neighbor, stay over there. But when you're in relationship, a lot of times God uses that to forge us and to sort of sharpen us up and allow him to live in us and through us and love maybe those that are not quite as lovable as we like to think that we are. And those are ways that we grow, and it all sort of culminates to this. And I was thinking of this as I was watching them lead worship up on the platform and thinking about text conversations I've had this weekend. I saw little Miles up there, the littlest member of our Obey up there, the worship team, and he was getting on it. And the way I understand it, a bunch of them was going hunting and stuff. He chose to stay here. It was his choice. He wanted to stay here because he had to do his thing in ministry this morning. And I think about, man, you got that, and then just to, not to call him out or bring light to him, just sort of a text conversation I had this weekend. Braden texted me, and so he gets me going, you know, he said, we should do an apologist group. And I'm like, you know, in the back of my mind, I thought, man, I've always, if I had my pick, if the Lord allowed me, I would have picked myself to be an apologist. I'd rather be an apologist than anything I could think of in the faith, although you just walk in the calling that you're given. But I thought, Lord, if I don't get to be one, can I raise one up? And I think he's going to allow me to help raise one up there. And you think about the context of the church as we know it today, and a lot of times churches have certain confines or certain things or jobs that the church allows or the church promotes or that you see people do in the church. And so your run-of-the-mill church most of the time are people up on the platform, right? They sing, or if they teach or preach. Then you got Sunday school teachers and teachers of that, you know, nature that do that sort of thing. And it's almost like we get choked off because, like, what's everybody else to do, right? If you're not called to sing, teach, preach, if you're not called to a platform ministry, what do you do? And I'm so thankful that God's always laid on my heart that everybody that gets saved has a part in the body of Christ. Whether it's a youngin' up on stage leading us in worship, or if it's somebody, a young man going, man, I'd like to have an apologist group. When 95% of the population that we live around here go, well, I don't even know what that is. Right? That's somebody who defends the faith, who defends the gospel, who says, I know what your science book says, and here's what the Bible says, and we're going to reason this out. And they've got evidence for God and his existence beyond even just the scripture. Many of us raised in a different time would go, well, you don't need that. You didn't need that. But I'm going to tell you something. The generation that's coming up now, they're going to need that sort of thing. Paul was an apologist because he stood in the midst of Mars Hills. Y'all remember that? And he said, this God y'all are worshiping, you don't even know what it is. He said, let me introduce you to him. He's the one there. He's the reason you have your breath. He's the reason you have your movement. That you're so superstitious. You got all these things that you worship in so much that there's still something missing on the inside of you. So you make this altar to the unknown God and you worship that unknown God. Paul said, let me introduce you to him. He's the one who made everything that you see. You understand? And you've heard me say this for the 20 years I've been here. We're living closer to the first century spiritually than we ever have. And I think we're there now. And so I think the things that we see in the scripture in the beginning are going to be called for in the day that we're living in. Going home to home or day to day, groups gathering together. People who understand how to defend the gospel and speak up for God and introduce those who have not heard anything at all about him and allow them the opportunity to hear about it. And there's all kind of places for you to get involved in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, I think it's the bottleneck of the church that's hampered us for years, that we limit it to so many people with so many positions, and that's who's involved, and the rest, everybody else just goes on the scoreboard. Y'all have heard me talk about the scoreboard more than once. How many was here? How many brought your Bible? How much money did we get? That's the church's scoreboard. Listen, I don't. That's fine. I'm just telling you that my theology, my way of thinking about the church goes well beyond a scoreboard that says how many was here. As a matter of fact, you know what we do? We count how many people, how many parking spots are left. Like, we appreciate you filling one up, but I'm counting parking spots that are left. As a matter of fact, I approach it the way God approaches it. I love seeing you here. I love this church being filled, but you know what I see? Empty chairs. You got to understand, when God looks down, the church counts the people that's in the chairs. I believe God counts the empty chairs. And he says, yet there's room. And if we're to fill those chairs, it's going to take everybody. It's not going to hinge on one person. It's not going to hinge on two people. It's going to take a concerted effort of a body realizing that everybody's got a place. And so that's where we're coming at today. As we gather on Sunday morning, if we don't have that, we don't have anything. As we grow and we're anchored in him, and we abide in him, and he'll abide in us, and we'll bring forth that fruit, and then we get into groups and we grow with one another, and we learn more about Jesus so we can share him with others. That is what the culmination of the whole thing is. Let me tell you, as good as it is on Sunday morning here in the sanctuary, and we got to have this gathering, I need you to understand that this is not the destination. Now, do I want you here? Yeah, I think we swing that pendulum too far sometimes. We go, well, you're the church. Go be the church. Don't worry about the church. If you don't worry about the church, there's not going to be a church to go be the church. You got to gather. You got to get together with the local body. But to come in and just sit in his presence is not the objective, and it's never been the objective. This is not the destination. It's actually the launch pad where you're supposed to go. And I can't say this guy's name. I would tear it up if I did. He was an Iranian refugee. I think I read it was 1988. He was trying to get back home. I think he was trying to return to, or he had been to France. He wanted to go to France and was stuck or something there. He got, I think he was trying to get to France. And when he got to where he was going, the terminal, now it's a true story, you can look this up. When he got to the terminal, they'd lost the paperwork. He'd lost the paperwork. He couldn't prove that he belonged in Iran. He couldn't prove that he was on his way to France. He had no documentation to say where he was from. He was stuck. And this sounds so far-fetched, but go read it for yourself. The airport didn't know what to do with him. The terminal didn't know what to do with him. You know what they did? They made him a bench to sleep on until somebody figured it out. For 18 years. I know that sounds like a story. Go read it. For 18 years, the man lived in the airport terminal because he didn't have documentation. He was stuck in the middle of where he was going. Now, we think that's far-fetched to be stuck at a terminal for 18 years. I'm going to tell you, I think it's even sadder when some people get stuck. Don't get mad at me. Get stuck in a chair for 38 years. This is not the destination. God's calling you. As a matter of fact, we titled this, "You Were Made for More." And I want you to understand, wherever you're at, you were made for more. God doesn't have a cap on what you can do. He says this: if you'll be faithful over the little things, I'm going to give you more and more and more responsibility. And there's always a place to sort of move up, if you will, and to do more for the Lord. We shouldn't live in a transition point and allow that to become our destination. We need to understand that when we come to the gathering, this is not the destination. This isn't just if I can make it to Sunday. This is the beginning of your week. It's not the end of your week. And you've heard me say this time and time again. Sometimes we count Sunday as the end of the week. And so what we do is we catch up on Sunday the things we didn't get done Monday through Saturday. Now we're quiet. I hope you're listening. So we count it as the last day of the week to catch up on the stuff we didn't get done Monday through Saturday. Sunday is the launch pad, and it's the first day of the week that gets you prepared to do everything you need to do Monday through Saturday. And this is not just the destination. This is not the end all. This is not the destination. This is the place where you're launched into doing what God would have you to do, and go as you are going and make disciples as he called us to do. But a lot of us are fearful, I understand, and maybe not secure about the seat that you have. I think that's one of the biggest enemies to going that there is you don't feel secure in what you're doing. I don't know that I could share with the gospel with somebody. I don't know that I could, you know, express myself in the way that somebody up on the platform expresses themselves. But Jesus never called you to do any of that. You know what Jesus called you to do? To be a witness unto me. You all know what a witness is. You ever watch a law show or whatever, and they call a witness on the stand? What's that witness do on the stand? They testify to what they know. They don't have to know the law. They don't have to interpret the law. They don't have to do anything special. The lawyer just says this: what did you see? What did you hear? What do you know to be a fact? And they witness to what they seen, what they heard. Jesus says, you don't have to be a Bible theologian. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know the King James Version of the Bible. All you need to do is be a witness unto me, and sort of be like the old blind guy. Y'all remember him? Jesus healed the blind guy, and someone were saying, whose fault here, the parents or him? Who sinned that he's born blind, you know, and this and that? Jesus walks up and heals him, and they take that blind man to the side, and they try to get him to say that he was a sinner. They're badgering him, trying to get him to say that Jesus is a sinner. And finally, the blind guy just becomes a witness. He ain't there for some kind of debate, Bernard. They're asking him over and over and over, say that he's a sinner. And finally he goes, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I know one thing. I once was blind, but now I see. Are you with me? So if somebody's got questions, let them have questions. It's not always your job to defend God, but you're to be a witness. And you can say, I don't know what you believe, and what you believe is up to you, but all I know is this: I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once walked around with a burden so heavy I didn't think I could handle it, but now I live burden free, and I get into the presence of God, and he encourages me and strengthens me. All you have to do is be a witness for what he's done for you. Because he's called us all to do that. I think the idea of the platform gets easy for people to go, well, God calls some people to do some things, but all I do is drift through life. That's wrong. He's called us all to make disciples. How do we do that? It's not another added to-do thing to your list. You do that as you're going. Matter of fact, the Greek word and how Jesus said that, the phrase that he used, we just pull the go out of that. And we make that the correct catchphrase, to go into all the world. When really the way that he said that, the phrase that he said it was, as you're going, make disciples. That's groups. That's you being a witness at your workplace. That's you not trying to figure out some clever way to share the gospel and do this, do that. Sometimes all that's needed and all that's well and good, but that's this: as you're going, make disciples. As you work at the hospital, when you can pray with somebody, pray with somebody. When you're down at Pick Pack and you can pray with somebody, pray with somebody. If you go somewhere and the grocery price is so high and somebody gets to complaining and mully grubbing and crying about, pray with them. I ain't kidding. Pray with them. You can say, hey, like David, I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. God will take care of you. Encourage them. I'm serious as a heart attack. Encourage them. You want to get a little personal here about our own area. I've lived in, I guess, two other places that I can think of. Been around a lot of people from other areas. And is it just me, or is our local particular area here in Man just got a different mindset than everybody else in the world? Man, it is different. Like, we are on guard about everything. I told somebody, I said, I think it's steeped in the coal and, you know, them coming in and sort of taking advantage of coal miners and all that, so we don't trust anybody. They took the coal rights from all the landowners and sort of made them all slaves, essentially, put them in a mine and made them work and gave them scripts so they could have to go to, and then charged them more than what they could afford so they could keep them under wraps there and make sure. And we've just been taken advantage of over and over and over, so we don't trust anybody. Even their own particular own little area here. I always tell people, I used to go to meetings down there, and they would always, I was in different meetings down there, Logan, about things that would go on in the county. They'd always talk about Logan and Chapmanville, and I'd have to speak up. I'd say, well, we from Man County, that's what I'd say. We from Man County, because it's almost like we're on our own county, right? It's almost like sometimes Logan don't want us, you know. Wyoming don't want us, Mingo don't want us. We're right there in the middle of all of it, and there's something about us, we're just made a little bit different. But you know what? You know how you change that? One person at a time, one conversation at a time. When they got that mully grub style going on, when they're complaining, whatever, be a witness of the goodness of God to them. Tell them about the joy of the Lord. You don't have to live in that. You don't have to listen to that. You can actually change the conversation. When you come into a conversation, don't be the thermometer that goes up and down with the temperature around you. Be the thermostat that sets that temperature. Be the one that breaks through that and brings joy to that situation. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you go, as you make disciples of Christ, your life will be changed forever. And I need you to understand that you may feel inferior. I believe it's something in this area in particular, you may feel inferior, but I need to tell you that your place at the table is secure. God loves you. He's called you. You are a child of God above, before, for anything else. You are a child of God, and you don't need to be insecure about who you are. You can stand up when somebody asks, when somebody says, and be a witness to Him because you are secure in Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Most of us, when we see that word belong, we think that's the apex. That's what we're supposed to do. But I would tell you that that's just a part of the equation. Belonging is not the destination. It's actually the runway for what we're called to do. I would that we would stop treating spirit-filled moments like we've had this morning as things to collect, but that we would interpret them as a means of being equipped to go out and share the gospel of Jesus. Don't just come and listen. Do we want to have a good time? Do we want to allow the Spirit of God to move? Absolutely, 110%. But I need you to understand that when that power falls, when that Spirit comes, that dunamis, as it's called, that dynamite power is just not for you to collect on Sunday so you can make it Monday through Saturday. That is something so that you can share to others what God has done in you. I said it 1,000 times on the day of Pentecost when the cloven tongues, like as a fire, set upon each of them. They couldn't see their own cloven tongue as a fire upon their head. They saw everybody else's in the room. And so your fire is not just for you. It's a witness to those that are around you. Notice what Jesus says here. When he says, you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses unto me. Right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to notice what Jesus didn't say. And it's okay to feel this way, but this was not his intent. He didn't say you're going to receive power and you're going to feel amazing. Man, you're going to feel that Holy Ghost and you're going to get goosebumps. Your goosebumps are going to get goosebumps. The hair on the back of your neck is going to raise up. You're going to feel encouraged. You're going to feel strengthened. You're going to feel like you can go on another week. He didn't say any of that. Does it happen? Absolutely. But Jesus was saying this, after you receive that, understand that is for you to go and make disciples. That's not just for you to collect and sit on and stick in your pocket. It's not just for you. It's for the others that are around you. So don't let this fire that you have become a private experience. Allow others to be warmed by the fire that God sets on the inside of your heart. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a world that needs hope. We're living in a world that needs peace. We're living in a world that needs joy. I think the second biggest employer around here after the coal mines, in my opinion, and I think I read this one time, and I would certainly agree with that, is the health field. Everybody works in the mines until they get sick, and then they need people to take care of them. That's the cycle. So we've got a lot of people in the mines. We've got a lot of people in health care. Can I tell you something? When it comes to those people in healthcare, they got a mission field like nobody else's. And when you come in and you get filled with the Spirit of God and you have those experiences, I love when Jeffrey and Paige and they tell us stories about, man, when they encounter somebody that needs to hear about the gospel, who's got questions. I think about a sermon when you said this, and I share it with them, and they begin to cry. You know what I think? Somebody gets it. It's not just go, man, that's pretty cool. I'm glad God uses somebody that way. It's to say, God, give me a reason. Give me somebody to use that on. Are y'all with me or not? What you get here is not for you to take home and go, boy, I learned something today. It's for you to take with you and go, you know what? I'm going to apply this in my daily life. God, if somebody, he talked about people needing encouraged. I pray that somebody my way comes my way this week that needs encouraged, and you'll give me the boldness. You'll give me that spirit of encouragement, and I'll be able to encourage them and maybe even lead them to the Lord. That is why we've been given the Spirit of God. It's not just to collect and say, man, I remember when. Somebody once said this, and I loved it. You sort of almost have to think about it. I like thinking. I know some people don't. I like thinking. The church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. Get that? Just stew on that just a minute. I know when it's this time of the service, everybody's used to somebody screaming at you, spitting on you, and always squalling. But I believe in quiet moments as well. Let that sink in and think about what they said. The church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. When a fire burn out, what's left? Ashes. As long as it's burning, there is fire there. Are you with me? As long as there's mission there, the church is the church. But can I tell you, and I don't care, it doesn't matter to me, when that church loses its vision, when it loses its mission, when it loses the idea that we're not here for ourselves, but we're here so that we can reach a lost and dying world, it has lost its mission, it has lost its reason for existing, and it's no longer alive, it's no longer living, it's no longer breathed upon by God because it exists within its mission. As a matter of fact, the church is one of the only organisms that I know of that exists for somebody other than its members. I didn't want to do this. Come to my mind, and I know sometimes people go, well, if it hits you, it's the Lord. No, not always. I'll be honest with you, some things hit me. I remember I was preaching somewhere one time, and I was mad. This is the other church I pastor, and I was mad because of some things that was going on. I'm human. Y'all know that? Y'all come here once or twice, y'all know that I'm human. I don't care to tell you. I was mad. They like that hard preaching. Man, I was preaching, and that thought come in my mind, and I almost let it come out of my mouth. And I turned around because there was a tug of war going on. Paul said when I wanted to do good, he was always present. And I bit my tongue, and that congregation liked that kind of stuff. And Bernard, they went, come on, give it to us. It's the anointing. I said, no, brother, it ain't the anointing. It's anger. This is not the time and the place. I ain't saying this is anger. I ain't saying it's the anointing neither. It's just an observation. But we as the church have got to realize that we exist for somebody other than ourselves. We're living in a community that was built on unions because they were taken advantage of. Have nothing at all against unions. I'm for them, but I need you to understand that your church is not a union where you pay your dues and aka your tithes and so you get what you want. Nobody ever gets everything they want in the church. I used to tell people all the time, people come to me with a complaint, I'd say, I hear you, there's things I don't like too. I'm the pastor, so join the boat, you know, jump on the boat here, join the crowd, right? You don't always get what you want. But look around and go, you know what? God's moving. Are y'all with me? I don't care if the seats are gray or whatever and people fall out about colors. And I remember that when we done all this, that tile back there, we didn't have a meeting on what color that tile was going to be. Sean Boy was handling all that. You know how Sean Boy handled that? I didn't pray, Lord, what color does this need to be to make everybody happy? You know what I did? I watched Lowe's, and Lowe's had that on sale for 88 cents a piece. And I said, I hear you, Lord. Somebody said, what color are you making that? I said, whatever color that 88 cents tile is when we get there. Because I don't care what the color of the tile is. I don't care what the color of the bathrooms are. I don't care what the color of the chair is as much as I care about. Are we existing for somebody other than ourselves and meeting the needs of the people that are on the outside? Give him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. There's just some things not worth arguing with. Oh, Lord, it's 12. Can I tell you a little funny story here real quick? We was in a state meeting somewhere, and somebody was sharing a testimony about when they were overseer at another place, and they get a call from a local pastor, and he's in a panic. Secretary rings into him, says, hey, we got a pastor here. He's tore up. Said his church is getting ready to split. He said, what's the church? They say the name of the church. He looks up real quick, because when you're an overseer, you got to, like even our overseer, I think they're a 3-star church and they go up to 5 stars. So we got like 180 Church of Gods in West Virginia. So it'd be hard to keep up with that, right? So he checks the statistics real quick and he finds there's about 30 people in average at that church. And his mind is going, my goodness, what's going on so bad that 30 people are going to split, right? So he gets on the phone, he starts talking to this pastor, and this pastor ain't been at this church for too long. He said, tell me what's going on, brother. He said, well, they always sell candy. Ooh, what's that? Candy. Sorry. Don't know why I said it that way. Candy. Been watching too many British documentaries, man. I watch documentaries too much. That wasn't even supposed to be funny. I didn't know that was going to happen. Yeah, I ain't even got to the funny part yet. Candy. They make candy at a certain time. He said, they always make candy at a certain time. He said, it's a certain time. And he said, I was with them one time, and he said, the ladies was in the kitchen. He said, I told them my grandmother used to use light K-Rose syrup instead of dark. He said, man, they got to arguing. Half of them wanted to use light. Half of them wanted to do what they'd always wanted to do, use dark K-Rose syrup. He said, man, they're ready to split, take their families with them. He said, I don't know what to do. And the overseer said, a holy indignation came over me. He said, I got fired up. He said, well, son, I'm going to tell you, the number one thing you need to do is get out of the kitchen, get in the pulpit, and preach and grow that church from 30 on up. That's the number one thing you need to do. And what I'm telling you this is, there's things that's got to be done, and you can't mingle and meddle and fight about everything along the way. You got to understand that the main thing's got to remain the main thing, and that is somebody that is lost and done needs to be told about Jesus. And I don't care what color seat it is, what color, and nobody's arguing about that here. I'm just telling you, it's not about those things as much as it is about reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I need you to understand, you've been given authority to do that. Matthew chapter 28, before he gives the command, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That wasn't motivational language. That wasn't just him touting himself. He was saying this: when I give you this command, you're going to go under my authority. And I need you to understand that I've been given authority over all of heaven and all of earth. So when you go out and you represent me, you've got authority that goes beyond yourself. You can change that situation that you're in, not because of who you are, but whose blanket you're under with Jesus Christ. You're under the umbrella of the King. You're a part of a kingdom that doesn't have to bow to this worldly government that we have. Are y'all with me? You need to realize that in your walk, in your day-to-day walk, there's going to be those that you're going to run into that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close here just in a minute, but I want to do something. I've done this one time before, and we've done it at the end of the service. Didn't know I was going to do this, so I need some help from some guys. And everybody will have to work with this. It's going to be uncomfortable, and that's okay, because you might have to move a little bit. You might have to stand up and let somebody unhook the chair next to you. But I need guys right where you're at. If there's an empty chair, grab it and bring it up front. Somebody leave Herbie one. He got up and went to the bathroom. We don't want him coming back. Somebody done took his chair. Yep, just set them up here. Doesn't matter where. Just grab them and set them up here. And don't lose me here. This is not dismissal. Don't lose me. Some of y'all are going, boy, he's wild. What in the world is he doing? Now, you brutes, don't take your seat and bring it up here and forget that you got to go back and sit in one now. All right. I like this right here. Teamwork makes the dream work right here. I like it. Fellas, I really appreciate that. We're going to call that good right there. I think we're going to make our point right here. I need you to understand that when God looks down, C-section's gone, see empty chairs, that's what God sees. And here's the danger where we're at. I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking we probably got 165 people or so here today. In the middle of man, you know what people would say? Boy, y'all doing good. Y'all doing great. Most churches ain't got 15, 20. Matter of fact, we got more in the nursery. God bless their heart back there. We got more in the nursery than some churches got in their whole congregation. I'm so thankful for that. But you know what I don't want to do? Is just sit down and go, man, ain't it good? I want you to look at the empty chairs of somebody that could be sitting there hearing the gospel, growing in the Lord, walking in their calling. Are you with me? It's not just about the chairs that are full. They're about these chairs that are still empty. And they're still out there. You know what this is? When Jesus taught that parable and he said, yet there is room. Don't think, man, we've arrived. Don't think we're just better than everybody else. I want you to realize there's still work to be done. There's still people who need to hear the gospel. There's still those that need encouraged. Are you with me this morning? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give up your seat, if you will, and come forth. Come around these chairs up front. We're going to pray for empty chairs today. And I need you to understand something. Do we love people? Do we encourage people? Do we want to meet people's needs? 110%. Man, I love it. I love it. There's people that need to hear the gospel in these chairs. And if you can't make your way all the way through, that's fine. Pick one that you're going to pray for and just reach your hands for. Everybody can get involved. I love it. This is the way it's intended to be. Now, thank God. I would say this. We got more full than empty. Thank God for that. So some of you may get to pray for the same chair. Nothing wrong with that. And I need you to understand me this morning. We love everybody. We want to encourage everybody. We want to pray. We want to be a family that's connected. We want to help you through things. That's what a family's all about, is to be able to lean on one another during difficult times. And everybody in the world in here isn't going to connect, and that's totally fine. It's totally all right. That's why we have groups, right? People get together and connect and have fellowship and come into relationship with one another, and they hold each other accountable and they grow through those times. But here is the danger of the church that we are dealt nowadays in the day that we're living. God called us to be fishers of men. Everybody say that with me. God called us to be fishers of men. You know what God didn't call us to do? Be keepers of the aquarium. He didn't call us just to make sure everybody here's happy. Do we hope everybody's happy? Yep. If you need encouragement, are we here to give you encouragement? If you need support, are you here to be in? Absolutely. But He didn't call you to be an audience. He called you to be an army. He called you to reach out and to disciple. And as you're going, make disciples of those that are around you. I wonder if we could just reach forth our hands this way. And let's pray. Everybody lay hands on a chair or push your hand this way toward an empty chair. And we're going to pray for these empty chairs. We're used to praying for the people that are here. You know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for the people that are not here this morning. Mm-hmm.